I gave you an assignment. Now,
sit down.
Sit. Good boy. Down.
Good boy.
Now, I gave you an assignment. What is the assignment that I gave you?
What an ideal sister would be like.
What?
What an ideal sister would be.
If you were to create an ideal person in your life, an ideal sister, or mother, father, whatever, an ideal sister, what would that ideal sister be like? Mm-hmm. Now, you wrote down some ideas.
I did.
Now, what is this ideal sister like? And now, this is not Sybil.
No, I didn't.
It could be like Sybil, but it's not. It is the ideal sister that, right out of the grab bag, you know, you chose the best, you know, and you never knew what the best was. It's like poor, very poor, you know, worthless, and then okay, and then passable, and then good, and then very good, and then primo. So now, you're at the primo sister, and this is what you're telling me. So tell me what you have written.
A sister who will be herself.
Who is herself. You're creating it, and it is done now. A sister who is
herself and having fun.
Who is herself and has fun, okay?
And a reflection of me.
Right.
A reflection of me.
Right.
As a master.
Right. Okay.
And picturing the a change in attitude.
She outpictures a change in
attitude in any situation that she finds uncomfortable with.
Oh, you must say that first. Wherever she is uncomfortable, she is the master of the ability to have the right attitude about it.
Yeah.
See, it's not a matter of changing something. It's a matter of having the right attitude about it. Because if she dresses poorly, and you say she dresses poorly, her attitude is, hey, I dress just fine. I like what I'm wearing. I'm being myself and having fun. I'm doing my own thing. See, so that's the concept and the attitude, not the matter of changing. See, because so long as we are thinking of changing, we're not thinking that we created well. We think, whoops, there's a mistake there. Yeah. Okay. I don't mean to jump on you on each little thing here, but that's best to do it right away, you know.
Yeah, and somebody, she will like herself first, and then like every other person.
See, you're in trouble there. She likes herself, period.
Period.
But not a first or second or anything else. She just likes herself, period. And, you see, and then likes others. Hey, if she likes herself, what's she going to do?
She likes others.
Everybody's going to be super. Okay, but, you see, keep it aware that it's just her you're talking about, not the world you think that she's creating, you know. Okay?
She's dedicated to whatever she's doing.
Yeah.
Diligent,
mm-hmm.
Devoted, and understanding and unconditionally loving.
Of herself and everything she enters into. Mm-hmm. Good.
Non-judgmental, look for solutions in everything, and never look at problems.
She is non-judgmental about who she is and what she is and her choices, and she never looks at her life as a problem that needs to be changed. She looks at her life as a wonderful, magical experience that's perfect in every single respect. And as long as she does that, then that's what she's going to have. Okay?
And she's honest with herself.
Integrity and honesty. Okay. Mm-hmm.
And she is a role model and a self in whatever she's doing.
She is what?
A role model and a
role model.
And a self in whatever she puts her hand in.
Yeah, well, you see, there you got two things. Is she a role model for whom? She doesn't give a damn. She doesn't care whether somebody else likes her or not. She is who she is. And if other people look at her and say, hey, I like that, then that's fine. But now, what you made two statements there. She's a role model and what?
Excels in whatever she does. Anything she does it well.
That's a good point by itself. She is a genius in everything. And not just what she does, but in everything. Even if she doesn't do it, she's a genius at it. She may just think about it, and she's a genius at it. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Then, if she is married, how that values...
Go ahead.
If she's married, she's got her values.
You're putting judgments now here. If she's married, she has values. Now, in the first place, she would never get married. She might get married, but her marriage would not be a normal marriage. Her marriage would be she and her beloved are together, and they enjoy each other's company, and they do everything harmoniously together, but she creates that person to be an exact duplicate, a replicate of her, you know. And, you see, you're talking now on the ideal. And in the ideal, there is no marriage. There can't be marriage. Because in the ideal, every person you create in your world is fabulous. Now, maybe you're a woman, and you have five or six men who are fabulous in your world. One is excellent in dancing, another is excellent in conversation, another is excellent in bed, another is excellent in whatever, you know. And so, you'd like to have them all rolled up in one. Okay, now let's just say you are fabulous, and you create the perfect man who is perfect in every desire of your heart from a male experience in your world, okay? Now, why would you get married? You get married because you want to claim that person for you alone. You get married because you'd want to make sure that that person provided for you or, you know, stayed near you, and that person had no relationships with anybody else. And you want to get married because you want to have your family estate built, you know. And you want to get married for all the dumb reasons now. If you're a master, okay, if you're the perfect sister, if you're the perfect girl, you speak your words, snap your finger, and whatever it is you choose is there. Are you the perfect sister independently wealthy?
Yes.
Well, you don't need a man for that. Are you the perfect sister who is full of delight in every area of life?
Yes.
Then you don't need a man for that. Yeah, you might enjoy his company. You would enjoy going out with a dozen girls or a dozen guys or any, and there would be no gender. Because you're not out for sex. See, you're not out for a sexual experience. You're out for having a relationship, a friendship,
platonic.
Huh?
Platonic.
Yeah, platonic, but by saying platonic, it brings that other stuff in there. You're out because you're people liking people. You know what I mean? You're people liking people. You like to go to the park. You like to go swimming. You like to go boating. You like to go dancing. You like to do all that stuff, you know? And you don't need a husband for that, or a wife. You don't need anything. But you choose a partner so that you'll have some. But you could dance alone, too. But you're going out with a group. You're having a picnic, you know, and a picnic by yourself is okay, but a picnic with a group is nice too. But everybody at the picnic thoroughly enjoys everything that we brought. They think the food is the greatest. They think the company, the cup, there you go. The company is the greatest, you see? And no possession. Marriage is possession. And I'm not against marriage, you understand? I'm merely saying, when you are talking about the perfect sister, the perfect person you're creating, that person is not one who is married, because that person always has to take in consideration other people. Now, another thing, the perfect sister has no children. Because if that sister has a child, that sister feels possessed by that child, feels an attention to it. If I were to have 12 baby Jesuses, you know, little infants, test tube babies, six girls, six boys, you know, they don't know their parents, they don't know anything. I could not have their parents raise them, because if I had a parent raising them, the parent would give their baby, you know, a little more attention than they give to the others. You follow me? And you see, it's just the way that is. Now, if I have a number of people who are not related to these 12 Christ childs, and I have them working with me, there is no possession. They're every one of them, but of course each child is liable to turn them on in different ways. Some with a smile.
Unique.
And you cannot even allow the uniqueness, because you have to draw out of each child their
genius.
Their genius, their uniqueness, their speciality. And the speciality that they are is a genius. You know. So, and again, I'm not. If you are talking about a standard human being and human relationship, then this is not what we're talking about. But if you're talking about the ideal woman, the ideal sister, okay, then this is the ideal sister. The ideal sister is so confident in herself, she doesn't need a man or a woman in her life. She doesn't need children in her life. She doesn't need, that's the word there. She doesn't need, she has them. When she thinks of loving a child appears before her and then she loves it. She's like Ellen. She goes into the supermarket, and at the checkout counter, there's always some woman standing there with a baby in the basket next to her. And she's looking down at the baby and says, "You sweet little thing, you love her." And you know, she has a love affair with the kid right there in the checkout line, you know? And the mother's standing there not even noticing what's going on. The little girl goes, "Oh, little boy," you know? And they just fall in love with her. And then when Ellen leaves the store, then she doesn't have the baby anymore. Somebody else takes care of the baby, you know? Cool. And, well, you see, there's no possession. Now, Ellen has grandchildren and children. And she felt possessive about these grandchildren because tradition says every mother in Switzerland gives a gold necklace and gold bracelets to their grandchildren with their name inscribed on it, you know, and real class, you know. And I said, "Ellen, give it to them if you want. You can afford it, but don't give it to them because everybody else does. You give them yourself, your beautiful self, and watch what happens." So she did. The other grandmother gave the presents, you know, gave the necklaces and all that stuff. She gave herself. When she and the other grandmother are there, the kids are always with her. You see what I mean? Because she gave herself. Now, and then when she's away from them, then she can release them. And she gets she got an email from her granddaughter today, Melissa, I think it is, and Melissa said, "I have nothing to say yet because I haven't started my day. Bye." And then she sends another email 20 minutes later, "Well, I've decided my day, and this is what I'm going to do." And then she gives a synopsis in maybe 10, 12 words of everything that's happening in the family. This kid's doing that, this kid's doing this, mama's doing this, da, da. And Ellen knows exactly what's going on in the whole family. She's got the newspaper of the whole family, and she doesn't possess those kids, and she's not saying, "Tell me what's going on," you know. And the kids just say what Ellen has an openness in her heart to receive. No problems. And the one boy, who is the younger, is being trained by his older brother, who is the coach in the
football,
kickball, soccer, in the soccer team, you know. He's the coach. And his younger brother is in that team. So he's teaching his younger brother. And his younger brother is proud to have his older brother as the coach. What a great attitude, you see? No possession. But you see, Ellen gets all these little things by the little sister who observes them without any limitation and tells it straight across. But Ellen has children around her when she wants them. And when she doesn't want them, she just goes on to other things. But you see, this is what the ideal sister, the ideal woman is, without possession. And she has what she wants when she wants it and when she doesn't. Now, you are creating the ideal woman, and So the ideal woman is sitting in her living room. She looks out the window and she sees the lawn needs to be mowed, it needs to be watered, the yard needs to be weeded and so forth. And she says, I have a beautiful yard. That grass is growing so gloriously, the plants are doing just so wonderfully. And she closes her eyes and she says, I'm in paradise. And she does not see the grass needing to be mowed, the weeds needing to be pulled and stuff. She doesn't see. She only sees what she wants to see. Now, that the weeds are there and stuff is a fact. But that doesn't even have to be there. She can create, well, this has happened. She can create it all being perfectly manicured, and then the gardener comes to her door and says, I finished your yard, ma'am. And she says, oh, I didn't order it. And he says, isn't this 1101? No, this is 1105. Oh, my God. She says, but hey, I want to pay you because my thought brought you here because I wanted that done. How much do I owe you? He says, nothing, lady, because I made a mistake. And you say, well, let me give you a tip for making a mistake. Here is $50, or here is $100. You know what I mean? And so, you see, she had it done because it was a thought, and that she chose to have a gardener do it. Now, she could have chosen her son-in-law or her grandson to come visit and say, hey, Graham, let me mow your lawn. You're right ahead, you know? But we are the creators of our world. We don't need anything in it, and we don't not need anything in it, you see? So, the ideal sister is one who is without need. Now, that might be a big point. She's without any needs, you know. And you have that there.
I think that's it.
But what do you think
of
what I just said?
Yeah.
You understand? Now, if you're going to talk about a human sister, that's another thing. And that's another happy relationship. But if you're talking about a master consciousness sister, a genius, you know, the top of the line, Rex, please stop. No, thank you. So, if you're talking about a top of the line sister, then you're talking about one that is totally independent of everything and fulfilled and everything and just fantastic, you know. Right, Rex? Mm-hmm. Right. Oh, yes.
Yeah, thank you. That's good. And the same applies to an ideal brother or...
An ideal you.
An ideal me.
See, now, take that, take what we have said now, and for your assignment for tomorrow, write down that, whatever you choose out of that, as you. Now, and don't say I, Christy. Say I. Because Christy means something to you. And your different names mean something to you. Mrs., nurse, or sister. You know, they all mean different
divine.
Things to you. I'm sorry?
I said divine.
Divine is okay, but even that. Just I is enough. I am. And you see, when you have the I am, when you have that aspect of your being, then there is no Christy involved. Christy has a mother and father and sisters and brothers and nurse Christy has these jobs, you know, to do. And whatever other term you give yourself, landowner, you know, landlord, aunt, you know, to Chioma, aunt to Chioma, and great aunt.
To Ebube.
To Ebube, you know. And you see, you think about Chioma, and you have a happy heart. And you think about Chioma, and you laugh, look at kid, he's great, you know. And you see, you have different attitudes. But you, in a way, possess them. And it's okay, that's a good human way to be. But as a divine being, if you were thinking about Ibube, you would think about him not as a possession, my grandson, he's like a grandson to you, my kid, my special person. You think of him, He is a special person. He is that. You create him that way, it's true. He's in your world. But you have to free him to be himself. And you see, as long as you have him as you're his aunt or great aunt, you see, then you have a possession. But if you are his babysitter, you have a different point of view. If you are his Mary Poppin, you have a different point of view, right? Right? You know Mary Poppin.
Mary Poppin, yes.
Yeah, you know the story. And
yes.
And you know how independent she is. She just does her own thing. And she, no, you didn't wash your hands. Now, you go to your bed and you do these things. Now, go out and say your prayers and do these different things, you see. And because she does that, then everything works out just perfect for her, you see. But she doesn't possess the children. And then she says, now, children, I must go. Goodbye. And she takes her umbrella and floats away. You know? Now, does she love the children? Unconditionally. And that's the beauty of it. See, the unconditional love is the whole picture. And this is what you are, Chrissy. You're Christy. I am unconditional love. And isn't it better to say, I am unconditional love, or Christy is unconditional love?
I am unconditional love.
I am unconditional love.
Are you unconditional love, Rex? Are you unconditional love?
Yeah, unconditional love. So, now, when you're unconditional love, what happens in your life?
Everything is in divine order. All is good.
When I am unconditional love, I think my thought...
And the power of the universe vibrates to manifest it.
To reveal it to me. And it's revealed to me. Because I am unconditional love. And as unconditional love, I am everything. I am all. I'm fantastic. Isn't that wonderful?
It is.
Yeah. I am all. That's what this guy is. Rex is all. Aren't you, baby? Yes. Now, who is Christy?
I am.
I am.
Now, why is Christy I am?
Because I am God. I'm the honest.
Now, the reason Christy is I am is the I am has no labels attached to it. No nurse, sister, mother, aunt, stuff like that. See, no labels. And this is what we want to really work on. We should have a course on no labels, you know. So you write that up, we'll see what you come up with for tomorrow.
I'll have all this in detail.
Yeah. I was thinking too, you have your own, and we'll put it on yours so that you have it permanently. But,
I was thinking of this thing here. I haven't done anything for ages. I don't even know if it's the battery is alive.
But this is a tape recorder. No. It's a cassette recorder. And it's quite a nice little gadget. Let's see where you turn it on.
This one is selective with voices, isn't it?
What?
This one selects voices. This tape.
Select?
Voices. It doesn't recognize every voice, does it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that, you heard it. You hear, that's the same one that goes on my internet. That's okay. The same one that goes on. And this